No matter how good of a camera you may have, if your lighting isn't right, your video won't be either. In this episode, we take practical steps to having good lighting. I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and welcome to Church Media HQ. Today's episode is brought to you by our Church Media HQ memberships. Now, Church Media HQ is so much more than these weekly episodes. We also offer the most affordable full-service creative solution for your church. When you join Church Media HQ, you get access to our design, web, and coaching services, as well as other resources, including video downloads and done-for-you social media content. You can give this a try by signing up for your free 30-day trial of Church Media HQ. There's no credit card required to get started, so start your free trial today at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. My team and I look forward to serving your church. Well, welcome to this weekly coaching episode that will teach you a new concept, provide creative insight, and maybe even help you avoid a mistake so that you can ultimately achieve excellence in your media and marketing. If you find this content helpful, then help out someone else by taking a moment to share it with another leader or creative like yourself. All right, let's have some fun here. I'm going to pull up my control panel here for my lights, and I like to do this from time to time just to show how effective and how kind of illustrate my point here. So always better to show than to tell. So if you're not listening, maybe go look up the video version of this episode. If not, I will describe to you what is happening with my beautiful narration here. So here we go. Where are we at? So yeah, I'm just opening up my control panel here. Let's see, where are we at? Here we are. Okay, so check this out. Okay, so if you're watching, I just turned off what's called my backlight. Very little difference, but it is a subtle difference. Now, watch this. Well, now the quality of the video has completely changed because where I was very well lit before, now something just looks off. And it's not my camera. It's not my audio. And it's not some other factor like that. I mean, when it comes to the camera, I mean, this is a very high-end Sony camera, A7S series, a fantastic camera, but even so, something still looks off. Well, now everything is restored and there's balance in the force again as I've got my lights back on. But here's the thing. When we have poor lighting, we have a poor video. It's simple as that. When your lighting is not good, then your video overall is not good when it comes to the visual quality. And we talked about audio quality previously. And the thing is, that's so unfortunate, is that this is what we see in so many videos, is that it's pretty bad audio and pretty bad lighting. And that makes for just a really, truly awful, awful video. While many higher end cameras, you know, they tend to respond better to poor lighting scenarios. Look, even iPhones nowadays, the latest iPhone, the iPhone 13, which by the time you hear this, it's been out for a while or for a few weeks. It's probably some people are getting their hands on it. The cameras are fantastic. They are really just a really fantastic. It's amazing how far we've come with cell phone cameras in recent years alone. But even with the best camera, they, even though they might respond a little bit better to poor lighting, you have to take measures to guarantee a consistently great shot by having consistently good lighting. So here are three rules for lighting to keep in mind. The last two are more important than the first, but I will go over the first, which is to keep in mind that the standard three-point lighting framework. Now, the reason I say this is important, and if you're a true professional out there, you might be like, how dare you, Luke, minimize the importance of three-point lighting. And look, three-point lighting is important. And the 3 points are this. The three aspects is the key light, the fill light, and the backlight. And so, in other words, your key light's kind of your main light. In this case, it's my light that's right over there. And it's my main light. Again, when I turn that off, that's when things really look bad. And then you have your fill light. And my fill light, to be honest with you, is really just my overhead light fixture here that provides most of my fill light. And the backlight is my light back here. And you saw when I turned that off, what the backlight really does, whereas the key light gives you your main source of light, the fill light kind of just lights up your area, your environment. The backlight really kind of puts this, sometimes it's called the hair light. And it, what it does is it really kind of gives you depth. And so it really makes, in this case, me kind of stand off the screen a little bit more and just provides more depth to the shot. So these are important, but they're not, in addition to it being just kind of the very scholastic educational thing you have to try to remember, it's not always possible to truly have all three of these, or at least to control all three of these, but the principles can still be applied. And so now let's get to the more important of the two principles for you to remember. The first is that the most dominant light source, the most dominant source of light, should be on the front of your subject. Otherwise, as demonstrated earlier, you'll kind of be like a silhouette. In our age of Zoom meetings and Zoom calls, video calls, you see this all the time. The person who they're sitting there in front of their webcam, and behind them is just they're sitting right in front of a window, and it's just a beautiful sunny day outside. And so what do they look like? They look like they've gone state's witness. They're just this blacked out silhouette. You can't see the features of their face, and it's awful. So that's why the most dominant source of light in the room needs to be at the front of your subject or you. So if you do have that light, or that window rather, in your room, figure out a way to orient your camera to where that light source, that window light, is coming in onto your face. And that way your most dominant source is going to be lighting up the front of you. And then the second key is simply this: use what is available to you. You know, there's lamps. Again, I cheat and use overhead lighting for my fill light. It's amazing how much you can come from just, hey, getting a lamp, you know, simply setting up an office lamp right here, angling it up a little bit, and I couldn't even provide you with a good key light or at least a fill light. And it's amazing what you have available to you when you find it. And I will say this too: if you are looking to find lighting, you know, purchase lighting, there's really good LED light panels on Amazon, very affordable. The light panels that I use in the studio, they are not like high-end lights at all, but they definitely get the job done. You can spend thousands of dollars on lights, but you don't have to. My favorite light that I've referred to before that I have is our wand light. We have two of these. And they are they're amazing. I mean, they create so much light, and whenever we're out on a shoot, that's what we have with us. So anyways, whether you purchase something, you can purchase something pretty affordable. But even if you say, I got zero budget, man, what do? Hey, just use what's available. Use lamps, use overhead lighting, whatever it is, to just make sure you have that lighting. So here's kind of the takeaway for today. Whether you're able to afford to purchase dedicated lighting or not, rearrange and make the necessary adjustments to your shooting location to ensure that you have the best lighting possible with what's available to you. So if we had to break down the technical aspects in that way, the lighting is just going to be really, really important. So just use what's available to you, and make sure that you're, again, whether you're purchasing lights or just using lamps, you might have to adjust. You might have to move some things around. The biggest thing you can do is, like I said, have a lamp coming in, or a window rather, coming in and lighting you up. So again, if we had to break down though these technical aspects of videos by percentage, I would say that the audio, let's give it 50%. The lighting, it's 40%. Now there is 10% remaining, and that's what we're going to cover in the next episode. Until then, stay innovative, keep dreaming, and please don't stop creating. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.